Welcome to Climate Champions, and thank you, James Henry Bedell, for the original music. I'm Lee Krivat, and every Monday I publish a new episode with a new climate champion as my guest. We talk about what they do to help mitigate climate change, what their vision for the future is, and what inspired them to take on the challenge. If you or someone you know is a climate champion, please let me know at www.krivatenergyinnovations.com. Barbara Bree, currently city councilperson for San Diego District 1 and running for mayor of San Diego, is my guest for episode 29. Barbara has a very impressive and exciting background. She earned an MBA from Harvard, was a reporter for the Sacramento Bee and LA Times, started and sold an internet company to Cisco, was a VP at ProFlowers.com, and gave back to the community by being an important part of Connect in the early days, helping to launch the Springboard program and the Most Innovative Product Awards. Grandpa Joe, can you come back from the great beyond and explain what the Connect Springboard program is?
Belly, let me tell you. I'll tell you a little something. You sit back, I'll tell you what Connect Springboard program means. When I first came to this country, when I was a greenhorn, I worked in a sweatshop. It had no doors, no doors. The way you got in and out was they had a springboard in front and behind of the wall, inside and the outside of the wall, and you would connect at high speed to the springboard and spring up through the window, do a flip, parkour, down, beautiful. This was the program it took to get in and out of the building. So your work should be like that in your industry. You should find a way to springboard up, do a flip, come back down, and make a pocket in a jacket. It's nice.
Grandpa, I know you had it tough, like a 15-mile walk from Brighton Beach to Manhattan's Garment District in the snow when the trains weren't running, but no doors. Really? Okay, that wasn't my 103 years old before he died in 1985 grandfather, but my half as old brother Matthew. Connect was founded in 1985 at UC San Diego and is one of the nation's first startup accelerators. Later, in partnership with the San Diego Regional Economic Development Corporation, it expanded as an initiative for economic renewal and sustained growth. It is best known in the community for the Most Innovative Product Award and the Springboard Program, which provides mentorship and education designed to help entrepreneurs build out their business model and go-to-market strategy. One of the companies I work with, Qubitekk, makers of an awesome quantum cryptography product, I was fortunate enough to meet through the Connect program, and in 2018, they won a Most Innovative Product Award. Councilwoman Barbara Bree is most inspired by her working single mom, who worked in advertising, went back to school to earn a master's degree in psychology, became a therapist, and was a best-selling author. I'm inspired by both Barbara's mother and Barbara. Welcome to Climate Champions. I'm here with Barbara Bree. She's a San Diego councilperson of District 1, and she's a candidate for mayor. Welcome to Climate Champions.
Lee, thank you so much for inviting me this morning to talk about one of my favorite subjects.
Can you talk about a motivating moment, something that made you think I want to get more involved in doing something?
So I think I'll talk more broadly about when I knew it was important to get involved in issues related to our environment. So growing up, I read Rachel Carson's book, Silent Spring, which is about pesticides. And I grew up in Philadelphia, and we went to the New Jersey seashore. That's what we call it back on the East Coast, the seashore. And I still remember, and there were terrible mosquitoes there. And I still remember that every night the trucks would come out and spray DDT everywhere. So, I mean, as a child, I was probably exposed to a lot of DDT. We didn't think anything about it. And reading her book really engaged me in the importance of our environment. And I particularly love one of her quotes, which is, "The human race is challenged more than ever before to demonstrate our mastery not over nature, but of ourselves." I mean, she wrote this decades before we even thought about climate change as an issue, and I think it's really relevant today.
Can you talk about why climate change mitigation is personally important to you?
Well, I live in San Diego. My children and grandchildren live in San Diego. And climate change is particularly important here because of sea level rise, which is due to climate change. And I think it's the existential threat of our lives, wherever you live in the world. And cities are particularly impacted. And as you know, I'm now on the city council, so I'm now in a position where I can do meaningful things that will impact San Diego's response to climate change.
So you mentioned sea level rise being due to climate change. How do you explain to people that don't understand that mapping that is the cause and effect?
I'm not a scientist, but I'm blessed to have a Scripps Institution of Oceanography in my council district, and of course in San Diego, and it's a worldwide, they are worldwide experts on climate change, and I just listened to the scientists there. They put out a report actually a few days ago about rainfall and how we're going to have shorter periods of more intense rainfall going forward in San Diego and longer periods of, you know, dry spells, which is going to impact, you know, how, and I actually now want to talk to them about what does that mean in terms of what we should be doing.
So what do you do when you meet people, especially constituents or potential constituents, that don't believe that there's a relationship between the two?
Most of the people I meet believe in it. So I live in San Diego.
Okay, there you go. So talk a little bit about what you do to help mitigate climate change right now and or what you intend to do or what you've done.
So what I do now as a city council member, number one, I'm a major advocate for what's called community choice energy, which allows the city to set up a joint powers authority to buy our own energy. This will allow us to move more quickly toward 100% renewable energy. Our goal is to get there by 2035. And setting up this community choice energy entity is moving along. And the city of San Diego wants to do it in a way that will allow the rest of San Diego County to participate with us, which will give us economies of scale and better buying power. So that's one of the most significant things I'm doing as a council member. Second, as a council member, I have supported Pure Water, which used to be called Toilet to Tap. And it's going to allow us to recycle water into drinking water. This is a very proven technology. The demonstration facility is now operating on Eastgate Mall in San Diego. I've been on a tour. I've drunk the water. It tastes great. Yeah, it tastes great.
Yeah.
They do public tours every week so people can go and visit. Right now, they're producing about 1 million gallons a day, which can only be used to irrigate golf courses. But as the larger facility is built across the street and the pipes are laid, over time, this will provide San Diegans with 30 to 40% of our drinking water.
I just had a weird thought, and that is because people might suspect that water, it's tested a lot more. It's probably tested more than the water that I get out of my faucet, at least through my pipes. Like, I haven't tested it.
Well, I think everybody understands that we need to make sure this is a very pure source of drinking water. And I'm very confident it will be a good thing for San Diego, particularly in reducing our dependence on imported water.
If you were to become mayor, do you have ideas about what you might do from a climate change perspective at that time?
So one of the most important things we need to do in terms of climate change is reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And transit is a big part of that. And putting jobs closer to where people live is a big part of it. And the kind of housing we build is a big part of it. Right now, we have a terrible commute in San Diego. If you live in the south, the good jobs are in the north. So the commute going north in the morning is terrible and the reverse in the afternoon. So one of my visions is to move good jobs closer to where people live. That's both an economic and an environmental imperative. And my vision is a technology hub downtown, which would put good jobs closer to where people live. And my background is I was a tech entrepreneur before I ran for city council. I worked at the Connect program in the early days, helping to start high-tech and biotech companies. we need more of these jobs downtown. And one of the ways as mayor I want to catalyze that is the redevelopment of the City Hall site, which includes Golden Hall and the City Operations Building. And I want to do a real RFP. I think we will get interest from developers from all over the world. And this will be very exciting. And we need to do it in a way, what's really important, in a way that develops our homegrown talent so that our children growing up south of Interstate 8 will have access to these jobs. So it needs to be a very deliberate effort. And I think this is one of the biggest things we can do to combat climate change in San Diego.
Can you talk about other things you would do if you were mayor?
Well, first would be finally getting community choice energy up and running. At the timetable it's going right now, it will be the responsibility of the next mayor to make sure it's operational. I also believe this will create a lot of new economic opportunities, and we may need to make sure that San Diegans all over the city have the opportunity to benefit from these new jobs. And I think it can also start new companies will start up around community choice energy, selling products and services that they could start selling here, but then can sell to entities everywhere there's community choice energy. And this particularly fits in with my entrepreneurial background. Also want to make sure that we are investing more in transit in an appropriate way. I'm very data-driven, so like to see data. I know our new director of SANDAG has a lot of bold ideas.
I saw him present those. They were very interesting.
Yeah, so I'm very interested in what he's doing, but I think we need to challenge them and analyze them. And we also need to think about what are we going to do in the midterm in the next few years, because his ideas, many of them are 10 years and more away. And we have, you know, terrible congestion now. And what are we going to do now? And one of our biggest opportunities is the trolley. So I'm very excited that the trolley is coming from downtown to the UTC area in my council district. It's scheduled to be finished in the fall of 2021. If anybody's been in that area, they've seen the exciting construction, and community has been a little bit inconvenienced, but overall is excited. And it will connect downtown to the UTC area. And the UTC area is our number one employment center in the whole county. So we need to prove we can get people out of their cars by solving both the first mile and the last mile issues. And from the time I got to City Council, we've been meeting with SANDAG and MTS to talk about particularly the last mile piece, because that's in my council district. Once people get off, and let's say their employer is a mile to a mile and a half away, how are they going to get there? What kind of tram service are we going to operate? And ultimately, it's likely going to be autonomous vehicles. So it's a very exciting time, and we need to plan for it.
And electric. Make it electric.
Yes. Well, the autonomous vehicles are all electric. And actually, the northernmost station, which is between UCSD and Scripps Hospitals, they are designing it so that eventually a row of autonomous electric vehicles could pull up. And one might be labeled Salk Institute. So you'd know that if three of you got in, you'd get zipped off to the Salk Institute. Another one could be labeled UCSD Library. And the idea is that you'd get to where you need to go seamlessly.
That's a very exciting vision. I'm going to ask you about vision later.
Okay.
So you'll have to come up with something else.
Okay.
Can you talk about your prior background? You mentioned that you were in venture, and you mentioned that you were involved with Connect. So was I. So am I a little bit still.
Oh.
Can you talk about some of the prior background?
Yeah, I've had a very diverse career. I got an MBA from Harvard in 1976 at a time few women were getting an MBA anywhere. And then I took a most unusual job for a new MBA. I had always wanted to be in the newspaper industry, and I wanted to live in California. I grew up on the East Coast, but I decided I wanted to live in California, and I went out and I met with every major California newspaper, and the Sacramento Bee offered me a job, and I went there and I covered economic issues in state government, and then met a San Diegan, which is how I ended up here, and then worked at the LA Times for 6 years as a journalist. Left that world after having one child and planning to have a second, and ended up working at the Connect program in the early days. It was then part of UCSD, and I was allowed to have a flexible life while I'm raising my children. I worked there for the first 10 years. I'm proud that I started a lot of what Connect still does today. I started the Springboard program, and I started the Most Innovative New Products Awards. Got divorced during this time, had to figure out a way of taking care of my two daughters, who were then 8 and 11, and ended up becoming an entrepreneur. Met my second and last husband, Neil Centuria, and in 93. And we started a company in 95 that pioneered high-speed internet access in hotel rooms and sold it successfully to Cisco. And prior to the sale, I joined a San Diego company called ProFlowers.com on day one as the VP of marketing, was there for the first 5 years. And then became an angel investor, was also the first editor of Voice of San Diego, went back to journalism for a year to get Voice off the ground, but realized I'd become too partisan to be a journalist again. A lifelong Democrat, have been involved in Democratic politics. A large part of my life has also been about empowering women. I was raised by a single working mom who earned less than the comparable men. There was nothing she could do about it. I've started two organizations that empower women, Athena San Diego for Women in the Tech and Life Sciences Industry, which I started over 20 years ago. I'm proud it's thriving today with over 500 members. And in 2008, I started Run Women Run to elect San Diego pro-choice women. I'm proud that it's thriving today under, you know, the next generation of leadership. And I've served on the board of Planned Parenthood. And I've had two children, two daughters, two stepkids. I'm a grandma. I've had an amazing life.
Well, that's incredibly exciting. Very diverse and exciting career you've had. Can you tell me about challenges that you've had?
So first of all, I was raised by a single working mom in an era where most women didn't have careers. My mom worked in advertising, then went back to school, got a master's in psychology, became a therapist and a best-selling author. Sadly, she died in 1983 of cancer of the pancreas, but she's my most important role model. So just growing up as a single working mom with a single working mom in a neighborhood where everybody else had two parents, I was different. In my career, I've experienced sexual harassment. When I was at the Sacramento Bee, a senior Brown administration official, this was Jerry Brown's first time as governor, would call me at home at night wanting to come over. And I just handled it as best I could. I never told anyone at the time, not the Bee, not my girlfriends, not the Brown administration. I've been paid less than comparable men. My first marriage ended. My first husband had been in the real estate world in the early 90s. That world was upside down. Financially, we were upside down financially. I had two daughters, 8 and 11. It was a challenging time in my life, and I had to figure out a new path for me and for my daughters.
Wow. So, yeah. That's a lot. That's a lot. How about, you know, given that I've made you talk about the challenges, how about some successes that you've had that you're most proud of? I know you're going to say daughters.
Yes, you know, you always say your children. I know. I'm very proud of starting two organizations that empower women that have lasted, one over 20 years, one over 10 years. I'm very proud of getting elected to the city council. I was the underdog in my race, and I'm proud of what I've accomplished since I've been at the city council. And I would say my major legacy issue at City Hall was my opposition to Soccer City, which is actually an environmental issue. I was a new council member. The Chargers had announced they were leaving San Diego, and the mayor announced that he was supporting this thing called Soccer City. They went out and easily collected signatures to place a measure on the ballot. I read the whole thing. It was over 1,000 pages. I met with their leadership team. I asked a lot of questions, and over a period of a few weeks, I made a decision to oppose it. I was the first elected official to stand up in opposition to Soccer City. And my staff and my colleagues told me, Barbara, bad things are going to happen to you, because City Hall has a culture of don't rock the boat. And quite frankly, City Hall is a mess, which is why I'm running for mayor. And bad things did happen. The mayor took money out of my budget, and we didn't have votes to override it. It became a partisan issue, sadly. With that time, there were 5 Democrats on the council and 4 Republicans. You need 6 votes to override a mayoral veto. I'm very proud of my opposition in the early days. And I voted twice and was able to build a coalition to prevent a special election from happening for Soccer City, which Soccer City believed was the only way they could get their measure passed. And I was criticized a lot. Soccer City ran ads on social media criticizing me, tens of thousands of dollars, I'm guessing. And it was a challenging time, but I never wavered. I knew Soccer City was a bad deal for our city for the long term. It was really a land grab by private investors for some of the city's most precious land, land that should really be used for a river park and for the expansion of San Diego State, which is what is going to happen because of a ballot measure that did pass SDSU West. And this is what I am most proud of accomplishing at City Hall.
Well, as a San Diegan, I want to thank you. Thank you very much for doing that. And what is your vision for the future?
My vision as mayor is to have a city that focuses on equity as its core principle. So that's environmental equity, social justice equity, and economic equity.
That was very succinct. Do you want to add anything?
I'll just conclude with something I did say earlier, which is climate change is the existential crisis of our time, and it impacts cities most greatly. San Diego has an opportunity to be a leader in how we address it. We already have been a leader. We need to continue our leadership role, and we need to address the issue in a way that we make sure benefits every resident all over the city.
Okay, is there anything you want to add?
Well, I love trees, Lee, and I've been reading articles that talk about building a tree canopy is one of the most cost-effective ways of combating climate change and capturing CO2. So right now I'm working on an urban forest and tree program for the city that would encompass every neighborhood.
That's very cool. Thank you. If that's it, I'll wrap this up and I'll wrap it up with a rap. Okay, you said the climate thing was a dangerous thing. You read a book by Rachel Carson called A Silent Spring. It motivated you to say there's an existential threat, and I know that you'll deal with it. You can bet. You have a background in business, so you're doing an RFP, and you also have a tree canopy. You listen to scripts because they're very, very wise. When they say the sea level is certainly going to rise, you want every citizen to have a voice, so that's why you're backing community choice.
Wow, Lee, I didn't know you could do this. This is phenomenal. I am blown away.
Thank you.
You do this, you know, just on the spot.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the rap.
I enjoy Barbara's love of trees and her vision for a citywide urban forest and tree program. And I was happy to get it into the rap at the end, which she was blown away by and very surprised to see it improvised on the spot. If you enjoyed the spontaneity of the rap and you are visiting San Diego and want some great laughs, most weekends I'm doing improv comedy at either the Old Town Improv Company or Finest City Improv or both. And if you want to improvise raps like me, or hopefully a lot better than me, consider taking a class at an improv workshop in your town. My training in improvisation helps me face the fear and let out the Lee. To confirm specific show dates, or if you have comments or questions about the podcast, visit my website at www.crevatenergyinnovations.com and drop me an email. I would love to hear from you. And if you're enjoying the Climate Champions podcast series, please subscribe, rate it 5 stars if you're an Apple user, and tell your climate-concerned friends about it. Barbara impressed me very much with her passion for the environment and her focus on equity as a core principle, not only for the environment, but economic and social justice as well. Having our elected officials focus on climate as an existential crisis, as Barbara does, and having the passion and drive to take a leadership role in addressing it is critical to mitigating climate change.